Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It is called the Delightful Panini, and it has, it's grilled turkey. Mm-hmm. Oh, I should turn the air conditioner off.
Much better.
Oh.
Well done.
Ambient.
Ambiance.
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 Ambiance. Ambient. Ambiento.
And it's a Tuesday. It's a blues day.
How late am I going to edit tomorrow? The game that never gets old. So it's a panini, obviously. It's grilled turkey. Coleslaw, like sliced thin grilled. Coleslaw, honey Coke mustard, show. Swiss cheese.
Oh, I love all of those things.
Hot.
There was a vicious hand gesture that I just like. That. Not vicious, I'm sorry, vigorous.
I'll be honest, I prefer a hot sandwich to a cold sandwich, like a pot belly style.
I do too at times.
And I like my cheese melted. I don't like a cold cheese on a sandwich.
Mm-hmm. It is nicer melted. I got a tuna melt, tuna melt.
Tuna melt. I don't like tuna.
Yesterday. Really?
Yeah.
I like it in all forms.
You know,
do you like it on sushi?
Tuna?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like tuna. I just don't like tuna salad. Fish.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. And I've tried it before and I've been fine. I don't know if you guys follow me on Instagram, but I had a really, sometimes I like to Instagram story as if I'm a celebrity in that people actually care what I am doing and what I have to say. And like, you know, it's like you wake up and you're like, hey guys, good morning. Like, this is what I'm making for breakfast. Like, it's just some eggs and, you know, avocado to, like, keep myself healthy, whatever. You know, I'm going to work. You know, just, like, as if people actually, like, give a fuck what I'm doing. Because, like,
Brooke, I give a fuck.
I know. But I had a really, I did it yesterday to today. Yeah. And I was just like, fuck it. And I went on a journey about Eggo waffles. And then you watch me get drunk. And then I get Eggo waffles.
That's beautiful.
And then this morning.
What dream fulfillment.
Well, we went to the grocery store to get margarita mix, which.
Essentials.
Hangovers, man. That's sugars.
Yeah.
And.
Speaking of, I think I got a Jolly Rancher hangover this morning.
You eat a lot of Jolly Rancher.
Well, I succumbed and bought a bag for myself.
Oh, no.
Nightmare town.
Halloween town.
Halloween town. It's coming. It's almost spoopy time.
I live for spoops. I had the flu this year on Halloween.
Oh my God, I forgot.
And I
about
had
that.
An amazing costume. I was Lizzie McGuire and I got clip in bangs and I like got all dressed and I was like ready to go to a party and then I was like, I'm gonna vomit. And then I did for 2 days.
Yeah, that's while I was in Chicago, right? Because you were like, I'm dying.
I was just like drinking Gatorades, eating saltines, watching. I think that's when I watched like all of Orphan Black.
Oh.
Oh no, Black Mirror.
Oh. Orphan Black Mirror.
Orphan Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Spoopy. But I also just love the word spoopy.
Me too. I can't wait.
I love that.
I love fall. I like all the things.
I love fall. But I really, and every year I think it's like, I get to this point in summer where I'm like been at the beach and I've like done the thing. And I'm like, I'm really excited for the half of the year when like nobody gets to know what my body looks like. Where I can just like look like a small grandma on the street and people don't like, talk to me.
Bundle
as soon as
up.
The shoulders come out, it's like free range to be like catcalled. But if I'm wearing my glasses and a giant sweater and a beanie, no one comes at me.
And you're cozy as fuck.
I'm cozy as fuck. I'm like a little kitten in there.
A little kitty cat.
A little kitty.
Speaking of, we'll get there.
You guys, T-minus 4 months until Cats is no longer on Broadway. So like get your tickets now.
Right.
Run tongue tugger.
Oh, there it is. Also, it comes up again.
Oh yeah,
in this
Cats
episode.
Has come up many times and I'm I'm here for it.
I have a story for you. The other day I was watching, what was I watching? I was cycling back through episodes of The Office and they referenced cats. And in my head,
Do you remember when I texted you about it?
Yes, I do. But as I was listening to it, I was like, oh my God, a Sex and the City reference. I have to keep track of that. And then I was like, wait a second. I think my brain just did a like Cats Brook Sex and the City like mashup where the synapses just like misfired. I misheard a Cats reference.
Funny.
My brain was like, ah, Sex and the City.
I bet they do reference Sex and the City though at least once.
They do. I've started a list. At some point I'll share it with you guys because it's already getting long.
I know. I think we should start like keeping track of when other shows mention just for like fun.
That's what I'm doing. Every time it comes up in a show that I love
when like I don't know why I've created this narrative that like I'm forcing Bridget to do this podcast, but like she like posted without me like telling her to, and I was
twice
like,
in a row now.
I know.
But I like, was like, wait, do you feel like you're babysitting me? Please don't feel like you're babysitting
me. Not at all, not at all. I do have a Cynthia Nixon check-in. My brother very kindly reminded me that not only is she Tony and Emmy Award winner Cynthia Nixon, she's also a Grammy Award winner.
Oh man! So she's one away from
an O away from an EGOT. Can you imagine?
That could happen so easily.
EGOT winner Cynthia Nixon, you guys.
Politician, like she's
Governor
be the most,
Cynthia Nixon, exactly. Best friend of the podcast Cynthia Nixon, because directly after we finished. Did we record? Was it no?
It was right before we were going to, it was the night after, I think, we had recorded our last episode. I was on the train.
I was in the shower.
And Brooke and I were texting about various things about the episode and
how loud it was. And so,
or like the tracks were messed up and I was anxious about it. And she was like, oh, I can fix that. And I was like, awesome. And then the next thing I texted her.
Brooke, I'm screaming.
I am screaming.
And I like got out of the shower. And
of course, that was me standing on a train, literally just like. Absolutely speechless, not screaming at all, but the closest thing,
like silent scream.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can turn you down, like why are you
for like out? ??
And she was like, look at our Instagram. And
I sent you a screenshot of it, didn't I?
Oh yeah,
because I had double checked to make sure. I glanced at it and then double checked to make sure
Cynthia Nixon liked our Instagram.
It is an amazing Instagram that Brooke found. It's like a vintage high school darling like photo of our beloved Cynthia Nixon.
She's like blonde. She looks like a teeny bopper blonde. It's amazing. Baby. But
she liked it.
I actually like was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe. Oh my. I was like screaming.
I also happened to be on the train to Brooke's apartment.
Yeah.
And both of us, it had happened an hour before. Both of us totally missed it. And then I arrived at her door and we were both just like, whoa.
It was amazing. It was so cool. It was like the most legit I've ever felt.
Yeah, it was fun. It was just like a delightful little
My therapist was like, I bet from the she universe. Listened. And I was like, no, she didn't.
Absolutely not, but thank
like,
you.
No, you didn't. No, she definitely was like, well, this is a weird.
But a great photo of me, which honestly is what I would do.
I bet she like maybe looked at our profile and was like, oh, cute. And then like
maybe
and had dinner with her lover, partner, and her children.
Sounds amazing.
Lover, partner.
That's what I look for.
You guys, shall we?
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Bridget.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to
Splat,
the podcast
where me, Brooke,
and me, Bridget,
talk about Sex and the City
10 years younger
and 20 years later.
Boom.
I just need to watch it one more time. And I'm going to.
Oh, yeah.
Just like back to like the cast of Sex and the City
and
on Instagram.
To the like celestial magic moment that happened yesterday of the eclipse.
Yeah. How was your eclipse, Bridget?
It was cool.
Have glasses?
Someone at the office did, so we passed them around, and then I like compulsively kept glancing at it because there was cloud cover, so you could actually see the crescent of it.
We had a paper. We did like the paper plate thing, which was cool.
Yeah. Well, the coolest part about it was because my office is 18 floors up, all of the balconies like around and below us and all of the streets of Midtown were like full of people just staring up at the sky. And it was really kind of crazy and like unifying. And
yeah. My two favorite like political jokes that were made were the one of Obama eclipsing Trump.
Yeah.
And also,
there were two pugs doing that. That was good too.
And Trump just looked directly at it.
I could not believe that. My sister, Caitlin, screenshot it and sent it to me and said, this cannot be real. Also, I read this to Brooke earlier, but my favorite tweet of the whole eclipse I saw today by someone named Robin Wasserman. And she said, there's a guy in this coffee shop who literally just said, did it start yet? Then walked outside, looked straight up and screamed.
There were a lot of like good ones of like, the eclipse is just another man. Like, yeah. Doesn't talk to you for 40 years, but when he comes back, he needs all of your attention. It was so funny. But you know who really enjoyed the eclipse?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
And here is my favorite clip of her.
Oh my God, this is the most spectacular light I've ever seen. It doesn't make any sense. It's happening, you guys. It's happening. Oh my God.
There's a corona.
Oh, wow. There's a corona. Oh my God, there it is. There it is. Without your glasses. Oh my God, it's happening. And lightning. And birds that are rarely ever seen. Oh my God.
I don't have my binoculars.
Oh my God, you guys. Oh my God. I wish you all were here. Oh, lightning from, oh my God. This is the most spectacular, unimaginably perfect, beautiful.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
So good.
The crazy, surreal thing about watching that, especially in between watching the episodes, is you're like, Carrie? Well, what are I'm you like, talking about? It's I'm amazing.
Like, she, I imagine that she's full weeping. Yeah. Like streams and streams of tears.
The like reverse video had some of her face and it was amazing.
But also like she is wearing the glasses, mm-hmm. but what she's filming is not the eclipse.
No.
It's just the sun.
Yes.
And it is so funny.
I love it.
Rare birds you hardly ever see. Birds you rarely see. It's just like, what are you doing? It's amazing. I'm obsessed with her. Her Instagram is honestly one of my favorite things because
full
she
of eggs.
So much, just like literally will be just her like frying an egg and it'll be like dinner.
Do to do.
And I'm like, Sarah. She's or amazing. Like her like super glamorous, like at a pop-up for a store that's just hers.
Yep.
Cool.
Should we dive in?
Should we just hop in?
Let's hippity hop right into this episode. It is called,
I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, no, me either. French, not
French.
A
la douleur exquise.
Exquisite.
Exquise.
Exquisite.
Someone exquisite. Can someone just send us an audio note of how to say it?
It means we learn the exquisite pain.
It learns like we could.
It learns an exquisite pain.
La douleur exquise.
Douleur.
Maybe.
Douleur.
Should I see if Google can tell us?
Exquise, absolutely not.
Google.
Oh, they say it in this episode.
Oh, she says it.
She says it when they go into the club, so we hear it because it's the name of a club that Samantha's PR firm is opening.
Oh, it's on Urban Dictionary. The exquisite pain of wanting someone that you know you can never have and knowing you'll still try to be with them. Huh.
Oh, sounds unrelated.
So you sleep with him and then you'll hate him for sleeping with you and hate yourself for doing it. Yeah, I'm uh-huh. psyched. I love Urban Dictionary. Yep. Okay, Miss Parker.
Here's a we go.
La douleur exquise with an exclamation point.
Exquise. That sounds right. Exquise. I don't know. Never mind. I'm stopping trying.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about how much of New York is defined by food fads.
Mussels from Brussels. And yes, they're trying to keep...
Tonight...
It's S&M.
So, this is Samantha's firm is handling this opening of a new restaurant that's like a BDSM place.
We don't have the sound on, so it doesn't matter that they say it in the episode.
I know. That did occur to me, but details.
Ugh, this episode has a lot of my favorite Stanford.
It does, and it has a lot of their really cute relationship.
Well, we've discussed this before, how they're best friends in real life.
Right.
Samantha looks like a sexy three-ring circus.
She really
does. Three-ring circus? Yeah, let's just go with that.
Sure.
And then Charlotte comes and Samantha's like, girl, I told you that you had to be kinky. And she and Charlotte with her little crimped hair is like, my hair is kinky. And I was like, that's weird.
This whole episode, she is dressed like she's straight out of Clueless.
But like dumpy Clueless.
Yeah, exactly.
Samantha's hair looks amazing.
There's a waiter who comes over who's in like full leather, like thong and... harness, I guess you would call the top part.
Chaps.
And one of them, I don't remember who, says, how do you tip for that?
I probably carry. That feels like a carry.
Probably.
And they start talking about,
they do their round
like
table.
How can you do it, and they start talking about fetishes,
and Samantha insists that, well, this is predictable, Charlotte insists she has no fetishes, and Samantha insists everyone does. So that begs the most obvious question of all time:
do you have a fetish?
And I really don't think so.
I don't, like, no, I don't think that I do either.
I like to experiment a little bit.
That's just what I was going to say. I think I've talked about this before, but one time I had a very fun experience with ice cream.
Oh, we have. That sounds amazing.
It was very sticky.
Yeah, that's the thing about food for me. The appeal is kind of lost.
I don't think I, like, have, like, a fetish. I have things that I enjoy. Yeah. But nothing like, I've never tried role play.
I don't really have specific fantasies even, really. For me, it's about, I think, more like connection.
Yeah, I just like want that deep, sexy eye contact.
Oh, God. No. No. I mean, you've made fun of me before for saying intimacy.
Bridget.
The one thing I would say, I guess, is I've, like, ventured towards things that would be considered kinky, I think.
I like to be, like, restrained.
Yeah.
I like...
But that's, like, I think we're the most vanilla version of any of this.
I know.
And maybe there's stuff that I would be... The other thing, too, is, like, I haven't really... Maybe there's stuff I have no idea that I'd be into.
Well, maybe the people we have sex with are just really good at having sex, and we don't need that shit.
Maybe.
I was wondering if, like, maybe the fact that I don't watch porn, like, doesn't lead me to anything interesting.
Yeah, but... I don't know.
There was another thing I was going to say. The way that I am the most attracted to, like, physically someone is, like, I like banter in physicality as well as in speech. And so, like, you know, in The Lion King when Simba and Nala are like, Pindia again, they're like tumbling, and that's my shit.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I want to pretend to be a lion. I don't.
What?
Rawr.
Yep.
I love the podcast.
They're having very pink cocktails.
They're having Cosmos.
Of course they are. Silly me.
And so Carrie's like...
Carrie's still on the weird long extensions
game. She has weird extensions. Her abs are unbelievable.
Always. So out.
And she's like, I gotta go. Big is going to Paris. I'm gonna go say bye.
For a week.
Totally fair.
And they're like, okay. Go get him.
And so Samantha, like, gives her her little hat and gives her her little, what's that called? A whip?
A whip, indeed, that she's been, like, spanking waiters with.
And Big opens the door and is not amused.
She's like, it's a joke. And he's like, he backs her up and he asks to see it again. The things they have her in her body is unbelievable.
Her body is unbelievable.
And she, like, play spanks him. They're being cute and flirty.
And then
she has
sexy.
A top hat on.
He throws it off and then he pins her. He takes her pearls off and tosses them aside like they are just the
disposable.
I was like, those are pearls and they are expensive. And what are you doing?
I can't believe the chain didn't break and give them, like, a marble nightmare.
And then they have an amazing sexual encounter.
Against the door. And we learn an amazing fact about Stanford Blatch.
Stanford Blatch has been on the internet as Rick9+.
In chat rooms.
He's on, like...
About an underwear fetish.
Is that what it is? Pre-grinder.
On his favorite website. It was a comfort to know that others shared his underwear fetish.
It's just like... So presumably that's just like people in their underwear?
Yeah. And, like, talking about it and... Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So he is, like, getting to talk to all these men or whomever, but I think mostly men is the idea, about other men in underwear. And he loves it. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte is in a crazy, crazy...
She's wearing, like, a white top, but the part that covers her boob is just, like, baggy.
It's ruched like a bad strapless wedding dress.
It's very bad. So we learn that just like every woman in Manhattan... Charlotte's,
every normal woman. I was like,
I have a cue for you.
Yeah, what?
Is it? I don't give a fuck about shoes.
I don't give a fuck about shoes. I thought it was too obvious a question to ask. Because they're literally like, like any normal woman in
Manhattan. The way that they talk about, like,
the
assumption that all women, specifically women living in Manhattan, which, like, I feel like women in Manhattan, we're walking and, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I was just like, I don't share the love of shoes. So if you are if you wear heels,
yeah,
do you love them? Do you love shoes? If you love shoes,
I know there are some people out there who do, not just heels, but just like really do love shoes and collecting shoes. And
good on you.
Yeah, because of course there are, because, you know, everyone loves different things.
So, like, is my fetish?
And again, I think their New York is probably this like Upper East Side bubble, basically.
So then to piggyback off of that,
mm-hmm.
If Charlotte,
my friend used to say, to piggy off that.
If Charlotte's fetish is shoes,
uh-huh,
and that's acceptable as a fetish, then maybe my fetish is musical theater.
I think Carrie's using that as a writing device, you know?
Okay, well, yeah.
But
don't bring cats into the bedroom. Mm-mm.
What if it's to take your cat sweatshirt off you?
I wouldn't be wearing a cat sweatshirt unless I was in love with you.
That could happen.
I hope it does.
Yeah. Cool. Doesn't that sound amazing? Go to bed wearing a cat sweatshirt, have it taken off of you.
And then
Mr. Mistopheles appears through the window.
My fetish is productions of cats. I just want to be like put in a junkyard and like taken by Jenny Annie Dots and then like thrown to McCavity.
Wow, yes.
But he's not there. Oh. I'm looking for McCavity. This has gone too far.
You sure?
Oh, wait. This is a complete departure from anything we're talking about.
Excellent.
But this weekend we were swimming in the ocean, which was so cold, and it felt like icicles were in my vagina.
Ah.
But we were wave diving, which is like something that I don't do in the ocean because Florida is flat. Mm. Like there are no waves. Mm. But we were, and Hillary's dad was like prompting me when to dive, and I felt very safe and taken care of. And then I said, he was like, be careful, there's a really big one coming. And I turned to Ryan, our friend who was with us, and I was like, to die would be an awfully big adventure. And Hillary goes, who said that? Is that Winnie the Pooh? And we were like, Winnie the Pooh is Peter Pan.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? I had the same first thought, and then I arrived at Peter Pan, but I was literally like, Winnie the Pooh? No. Peter Pan.
It's weird. I guess Winnie the Pooh like has like a lot of weird quotes about death.
Also, second episode in a row, we've had some great Winnie the Pooh references.
Well,
so Charlotte meets
famous actor.
Yes.
No, not actually.
Shop guy who is going to sell her shoes.
I'm gonna look him up.
And Charlotte like loves these shoes, but they're too expensive. They're $400, and she's like, oh, I can't do that. And that he's like, you know, you just want to see what
just
they look
try
like
on. Just put them on.
She goes, oh, you're bad. Okay, you want, I'll just try them on. So she sits down and the guy like puts them on her feet.
Oh, and she is, it's her fetish. So she's like,
so she's
having a sexual experience.
Or they're like playing into this writing trope. And she's like, oh, yeah, these are amazing.
Please take them off before I start to cry. And he's like, I'll give them to you for $200.
And
shoes were meant to be loved. And then it's like, you're going to need that in the Hamptons. And I'm like, what is this world?
Well, it's crazy, too, because at this point, we don't really sense anything is awry at all.
No. He's just being a little creepy, maybe.
Maybe. Like, but he's just, like, excited to sell her shoes, it seems. And just this good salesman convincing them to put
also,
her on
it's
her feet.
James Urbaniak, who's, like, a big actor.
I screamed. I was not looking at the computer screen. Caught it out of the corner of my eye and literally said out loud, Job?
Yes.
Sorry.
Will Arnett.
Job?
Job. Keep singing.
Job?
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Who?
Job?
Got it. and so this is like so sexy to me. They're like, oh, you read this book?
It's
like Miranda,
book.
And they're like flirting about books.
She's at one of those like outdoor book, you know, when booksellers have like books out on the tables in front of their book, in front of their bookstores. And she's reading a book and a guy, Job Bluth.
Will Arnett, Jack.
Yeah, he comes over and he picks up a book too and just starts talking to her, and they have these like literature connections.
Yeah, and it's sexy as hell.
Mm-hmm. And Miranda's like into it because I think it's like, oh, a guy who can spar with her on this level, which is different.
She's like, he's smart.
She's also back to very red hair this episode.
She kind of looks like Peter Pan.
Red shirts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay.
So really the main plot of this episode
is that Carrie's like, okay, I'm helping Big Pack. We're helping Big Pack. We're having a conversation. And then she's like, are we going to share?
Oh no, sorry.
She was like, are we going to get our own place in the Hamptons? Cause the girls were talking about going in on a place. So like, what do you think we should do? And he's like, again, I'm like, oh my.
Yeah.
And he is like, actually, I'm going to maybe move there for 6 months.
Maybe for the summer to Paris.
Maybe for the summer, maybe for 6 months to Paris.
And she understandably.
She responds in a completely rational way, I think.
It's a lot.
Well, it comes out of nowhere.
Right. And she's like, hang on. When were you going to tell me?
Yeah. So like, how long do you think they've been dating?
Yeah,
two years.
Well, they've now said they love each other. So he says summer, 7 months, maybe a year.
That's for how long he's going to be in Paris. Right. And she's like, hold on.
For now, we know at least he's coming back in a week. But then he said he might have to go back.
For 7 months or a year.
Yeah. And
Carrie's super offended that he didn't tell her.
And he says, you know, I was going to tell you when I knew more, but I don't because nothing's definite.
And then he says, don't get carried away. And I was
rolled
like,
my eyes too.
I was like, okay. But also, Carrie does get carried away often.
She does. And she is very intense about this in this episode.
Yeah.
But I also wrote down, oh, Carrie, I can relate. Hello. I'm ready for this conversation. Because the idea of, yes, her instant concern was he didn't tell me. But then the secondary part of that is like, oh, if it's, 3 months, certainly like long distance. And what does that mean? Or like knowing that you're saying goodbye for a year to go abroad to someone you love. I was like,
how do you
right
do that?
There with
how
her.
Would one ever deal with that situation?
Negative zero out of 10. Do not recommend. But also it was an amazing thing to do, I guess. But
also
to
like,
have it sprung on you is
however,
a whole different thing.
I think there's a difference between.
Oh, no, this is very different.
One is 20 something.
I meant I was empathizing with her
because I was
like, this is Carrie for the first time is like me. What were you going to say about this and about Big dropping it on her?
So Carrie says,
it's about the fact that I wasn't even a factor in his decision-making process. I mean, just tell me what's going on. Is that too much to ask? You know, one minute he's all over me and the next minute he's pushing me away. And I just cannot believe this is happening again.
Yeah, this felt real.
She's frustrated, you know?
Of course she is. And she feels like his decision was made because he didn't talk to her. It feels like his decision was made in a vacuum that didn't include her.
And it's sort of, did you ever watch Dane Cook? He has these like things, mm-hmm. like the mind.
Yeah, I was real into him in middle school, unfortunately.
High school for me, so worse. Mm. But like a sort of a mind, like a ninja attack. It's like a minefield sort of where like this little, like this Paris thing is just like, is what like tips right. off a minefield. And now she's like, these are all the problems in the relationship.
Yeah.
Like
pew, 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 pew.
And Samantha does this thing that I just like don't like when Samantha does, where she's like, well, women do this and men do that. And it's like,
it also feels like lazy writing that she always fucking resorts to that.
Yeah.
Because she's more interesting than
she's
that.
More. They don't almost know what to do with Samantha yet.
Well, Carrie's just frustrated because she feels like she has no idea what's going on, which, yes, we know she doesn't talk to him well. They aren't great communicators, but also, like, I would also be furious at this point.
And it's a little, like, Carrie's drawing a lot of parallels between the first time they broke up at the end of season one, where he kind of, like...
Which, this is 12 episodes later, which means it's been exactly...
Maybe it's been a year.
Oh, maybe.
So maybe this they're 2 years into their relationship.
But also, like, that's crazy. It's double the episodes to the day.
Oh, and her whole thing and the whole, like, arc and the way they connect the stories is Carrie's like, am I in an S&M relationship with Big?
Yeah, which is stretching it to say.
Yeah, but, like, I understand the idea of, like, being masochistic in love. Yeah,
totally. Totally.
Masochistic in love. A memoir. When do you know is enough is enough? Like, is there a safe
word? Terrible extensions. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. They're awful. I'm like, why do you even need them? And then my whole thought process this episode was like, God, I wish I had Carrie's abs. And also her labs. She has a lot of dogs.
Well, God, I wish.
Her abs. And also, like, why is she wearing these extensions?
I know. They're so terrible. So Job, here's the thing about Job. Job Jack Will. He likes to have sex in public places.
He only wants to have sex with the, like, risk of being caught.
Is this something that's sexy to you?
I have never done it.
Even, like, made out a little bit? Or do you think the idea of it's fun?
I'm making out for sure. I feel like I know. Yeah, I'm just like.
That's basically exactly what I wrote was, like, I like a little sneaky making out, but absolutely not.
I don't have an urge.
Turns, like, me off in a second to think that we're just, like, why are you putting,
it's like, yeah, it makes me like, ugh.
I don't want to be seen in that way by people. I don't want to scar strangers like that either.
Yeah, and, like, I've never had sex in a bathroom. I know, like, that the idea of that is really fun, and, like, I can see myself in the right context doing it.
Yeah,
but also no.
It just doesn't seem appealing to me.
The idea of getting caught, I'm, like, such a, like, do-gooder.
Yeah, that's not, like, a fun... Well, there are different kinds of thinking you're going to get caught. There's, like, the psychological kind of, like, someone in my life is going to figure out about this that can sometimes be fun when you're like, trying to keep it quiet with people. Mm-hmm. Not for nefarious reasons, but just for the fun of keeping it kind of, like, quiet and secret.
Yeah.
But this is different. The physical getting caught, hell nah. So now we have the most hilarious, cute Stanford and Carrie scene, which also I was like, this is like a cuter version of me trying to tell people about my 1D Tumblr back in the heyday.
Oh my God. Yes.
And it was like a thing of shame.
No, it's so amazing. And he's like, please don't judge me.
I have to tell you something, but to do it, like, I have to confess something.
He's like, no judgment. Like, I had bangs in the 80s. It's like, what?
Yeah, literally what?
And I actually love this.
Yeah.
Because he, like, tells her his name and he's like, am I too scandalous? And Carrie's response is just so, they love each other.
Really darling.
Like, I love when they show the parts of friendships, and I think they do this a lot too with, like, they started to do it with, like, Samantha in the last episode with the panties.
Yeah.
Like, when they, like, can tease each other.
On each other.
Teasing is very important to me.
I love it.
A gentle tease. Teasing is my fetish. Maybe teasing is my fetish.
Oh. Hey.
We're all on our own fetish journey.
Right. I would agree. Yeah. Sparring banter.
Oh, sexy.
Hey.
I need someone that I'm attracted to, but also can poke fun at.
Wow. I couldn't have put it better myself.
Yeah. It's like someone articulated it for me.
But it's just really cute because that's exactly it. She's like, she isn't judging him, but she is like, that's your name. So,
so he, like, confesses that he's been talking to this one particular guy
who wants to meet him at a club. And he's not sure if he should do it or, like, what Carrie thinks. And he's like, I haven't been laid in so long. And all I know is his name is
so long.
The other username is Big Tool for You.
Big Tool for You.
Makes it sound like he carries around a hammer.
Uh-huh. The meat packing district makes sense. Carrie's sense of humor is so goofy.
It's so goofy.
So Stanford, how long has it been?
I haven't had good sex since before Cats was on Broadway.
Oh, is this this episode of Splat is brought to you by Cats. This is the most it's come up in any episode.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I just love how relevant it is. However, like, remember.
I couldn't even figure out what you, like, missed that.
The Cats are, this is the 80s. So the Cats has been running for at least 10, 11 years.
Wow.
So Samarin hasn't had good sex in
a long ass time. Damn. Wow. He's like, what if he disses me about the guy? He said he's great looking with a great body. And Carrie says, well, Stanford, are you Rick 9 plus? And then she laughs and she's so cute.
Oh, he's funny.
Also, does she just dial that with her foot? She yes, did.
She's amazing.
She dialed the phone with her toes.
We're back. Stanford and Carrie are... you guys just missed like a lot of funny singing from Bridget. Sorry.
You have to cut it out for a national security reason. To our non-existent LinkedIn page.
Yeah, I just didn't want people to think
amazing
that I was serious.
That you were serious. Yeah, really well done.
So Carrie gets drunk enough with
Stanford. Cosmos in her apartment mm-hmm. that she decides she's drunk enough to call Big. Which means it is 5 a.m. where he is.
And we have seen drunk Carrie give speeches before.
And she's about to yell.
And we're gonna put some of it in for you.
It's going to be sloppy.
But honestly, I'll say... I don't disagree with her.
No, she's not wrong. I do think that there's a buildup, though, of mm-hmm. not talking to someone that gets you to the point where you feel this. Not I'm saying she's responsible for it, but I don't think she's done her part.
Yeah.
You know, she's added to this, like, clog, and now she's exploding because this really big thing is happening.
Yes.
That said, she's justified because he treats her pretty poorly at every turn.
Okay.
So, he asks if they can get into it another time.
Oh, look, it's never a good time for you. You're always sleeping, or you're ready, or you're going. You're always going. You're fucking taxi, and then you're on a plane to France for maybe a year. Well, you're a freaking old man. You should be thinking about somebody else. This is not fake us. This is real. Even if you don't know it, it is.
And I get it. It's a good speech. It's a good monologue. It's about calling him out because I think Big gets away with, like, being a man child. Like,
yeah,
he is
really
a 44-year-old man, and he is like acts like the fucking fuckboys we deal with.
He takes no responsibility for anything.
Like, Big is the ultimate fuckboy man.
He's exhausting, and I would not like to be with him. So, you know.
But also at the same time, it is the middle of the night in Paris.
Yeah, it's not. She's drunk and she's woken him up at 5 a.m. Not the best time.
And
for
no
this.
One loves a drunk. No one loves a drunk rant.
Not when it wakes you up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
But she spills a Cosmo all over herself and kind of has to end the conversation. And she says at that point she knows she'd gone too far, which is kind of a turning point for her in this episode and leads to some hard but really good things.
Yes, I agree. And then we got Miranda in a cab.
Yeah, we with do. Job. I wrote, Job is frisky.
Job wants Miranda to take her panties off in the cab. And Miranda's like, you are a crazy. And then he goes down on her and she enjoys it.
He asks if he can go down on her and she's like, what? And then she's like trying to give directions as she's audibly moaning.
She's coming.
While they're going. Bazinga. So now things with shoe salesman guy get a little weirder. He puts on a pair of like sandals on her. She's still dressed like she's straight out of Clueless, but
like,
bad.
Yeah, not but bad Clueless.
And she loves them and he offers to give them to her for free.
Is it the same shoe that she's trying on again? Or is this a new shoe?
I think she's come back to try a different one on. He says for anyone else, $500 for you. Free.
Oh, baby.
And she no, and also his name Buster. Is Buster, which is just ridiculous.
Why would you no, do something Buster. Like that? These beautiful feet are tired. Oh, so it turns out
a little rub.
He starts like giving her like covertly a foot massage, which I think is so funny the way he like looks around.
Yeah. And she's kind of like, okay, like she really doesn't shy away from it.
They're really again, they're playing up the like
yeah.
Sexuality.
So, guy who seemed fairly normal has become foot fetish guy.
Okay. They are dressed like Kooky Bananas crew of ladies.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Miranda, Charlotte, and Carrie. Carrie is dressed like Princess Anna from Frozen.
Yes.
She's in like a tight black with like a little poofy skirt.
With a geometric weird print on it.
Again, Charlotte is looking like she's dumpy Clueless.
Bad clueless. Yep.
And Miranda.
Miranda is wearing one of those shirts that looks like a patterned, like,
okay.
bag I got in the
You know what it 2000s. Is? I thought it first. I thought it was an alien. I'm gonna. We should post a picture of this. Uh-huh. First, I thought it was an alien, and then I thought maybe it was like the scream from Van Gogh. But no, it's a like a likeness of RuPaul. Doesn't it kind of look like RuPaul?
Oh yeah, it kind of does. Whoa, maybe it is.
Like maybe it is. Maybe it's like Barbie,
but though. Very stylized and with the different color sleeves. Like I just know the era so specifically.
Oh yeah.
So. They ask Miranda what made her change her mind about hooking up with the guy. Oh, no, sorry. Miranda asks Carrie what made her change her mind. And she said she realized that she could go to Paris and that this whole thing she just realized was too close to blowing up. Yeah. And so
yeah, she's doing that. And I totally relate to this. This justify like, you know thing. What?
It's going
to
be
this
fine.
Is why it's happening. You know, this is how I'm talking myself down just to like seem to all my friends that I've got it together. But like, I feel like
Sarah, to myself,
great actress Sarah Jessica Parker is giving you like, she's tense. Her body's tense.
Yeah.
You can tell that maybe she doesn't believe what she's saying.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, wait. And then Miranda starts talking about this outside thing. And he's like talking about all the places.
The guy yeah, she's who talking likes about to talk up outside.
All the places that they've had sex. And the first one, is at a restaurant,
and Charlotte says, I ate there the other day.
And
ew.
Then the next one are the elevators in the Marriott Marquis, which like you have to, maybe it was different in 1999, but those elevators are made of glass,
which is a hilarious
and
reference.
Fun
now.
Fact, when I was like in middle school, like when I would first start coming to New York, my favorite thing to do, I thought it was amazing that buildings could be so high to take the elevators. We didn't even stay at the hotel.
You just go in and take them. And then, I love that.
And then my mom, so when I was in 10th grade, I was in like callbacks for 13 and I flew out for it. And my mom was so sweet and we stayed there. Aww. And it was just the most magnificent thing.
I bet.
I didn't get it. But
was that the 13 that our dear friends were in?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the third place was in a public bathroom in Central Park that Miranda and her guy had hooked up. And Samantha, Charlotte, good God, woman. Charlotte's like, this is a relationship, not outward bound.
And she's like, you have to get that boy in a bedroom.
So they ask her where her shoes are from and she tells them she got a quirky discount and they're like, how much? And she's like, well, free. And they're like, so what did you have to do for this?
Why?
And they make her feel
a little yucky.
Well, and I think it's partially possible that it hadn't fully occurred to her what was happening. I think partially she was like, this cute boy, like, thinks I'm really cute and wants to give me a present. Now he's going to touch my feet.
And then, but it's true. Like, I feel like if you don't tell anybody something weird that's happening, it doesn't seem, you can convince yourself in your head that it's not weird. But as soon as your friend labels, like,
You see what's happening here, right?
You eat pizza with your feet and you're like,
oh God.
Like, but you're on your own. I don't know why this is the thing. This isn't something I do. Yeah. Bridget was about to eat pizza with
my feet.
We had a friend of the podcast who brought us a pizza.
It was so nice.
Thank you, friend of the podcast.
Tastes delicious.
They didn't sign the NDA, so
right.
We can't say that.
We are actually, their face was blurred out the whole time.
This is the podcast version of blurring out someone's face.
Amazing.
I'm killing it. We're killing it.
Nope, just you.
No.
So Charlotte goes and she takes the shoes back and he's like, if you give them back to me, my first thought was, Charlotte, you've worn the shoes. He's not going to take them back, which he says. And he says, I'll have to throw them away if you give them back. She's like, no, they're too beautiful.
Who, me?
And he's like, maybe there's a trade.
And he's like getting sweaty. Oh, this seems so weird.
He's like trying shoes. She's like, all I have to do is try them on. Honestly, though, if he wasn't that creepy, I might indulge it once for like
no, but then
clothes
he
I
starts,
really wanted.
He has an orgasm.
Yeah, it's really wild.
It's disgusting.
I would have taken the first pair, honestly.
Yeah, just take them and run.
Ugh, imagine being hired to touch women's feet on camera and then pretend you're having an orgasm.
I mean, some people have a foot fetish.
That's true. So, imagine the circumstances.
Big is back. I don't understand what a fetish is. I don't.
And it's a classic gif of Carrie in a beret holding McDonald's because, of course, she's in a beret.
She's like, I'm being French. I'm okay with you going to France.
And then he's like, what's all this? And she's like, apologies for being le bitch.
And like a French fry.
And And here's the thing about how she goes about this. They still aren't having a conversation. She's now gone from freaking out to telling him how it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I actually think his reaction in this moment is decent. Again, we're parsing things where, like, he's been a dick up until now. But yeah. Basically, Carrie's like, listen, we're going to make this work. You'll be in Paris. I'm going to come and visit you. It'll be great. She just kind of launches into it.
So she's like, I'll move to Paris. It's going to be great. And he's kind of like drinking a bourbon being like, wait a minute.
And then he says, and then she says, and if things got really rough, I'd move there. And he says, okay.
And he's like, don't move for me.
Well, he basically says you'd move for yourself, right? Which granted is a little bit of a crazy conversation. But then what he follows it up with and what he wants to say is like, I can't guarantee all those things for you. And if you move, you know, that's a huge set of expectations. Mm-hmm. And then she hurls the
Big Mac at the TV and he's like, what the fuck? She like starts screaming. She's like, I wore a fucking beret for you. Like, I'm doing all this for you. Yeah. And you won't give me an inch.
She's like, you won't consider me at all. She really is screaming. And he says something that I think is really honest. This was the other thing that I think was like, I'm on Big's team. He says, Carrie, this isn't about us. This is about work. And obviously the work part of it isn't figured out because he doesn't know if he's going to be there.
And then at like 20.
No, this isn't about work. This is about us getting closer and you getting so freaked out that you have to put an ocean between us. Why is it so hard for you to factor me into your life in any real way?
Kind of, she flips it on its head.
But no, but I think that is the issue with their relationship, for her at least. Like, he's just won't give her enough.
Yeah.
For you to factor me into your life in a real way.
Right.
She just wants to feel like she can't have a presence in his apartment. She like, yeah. I get where she's coming from.
I do too.
I just think she's just like being at this bombastic. Part,
yeah, she is. It's because she's gotten herself to explosion point because she doesn't just talk to him. No. And again, you know, she started in without talking to him and then was hurt when he was, you know, in his blunt, terrible way, honest with her.
Yeah. And so she,
she's like, I don't think I can do this anymore.
Yeah.
And she leaves.
And she's furious.
She's
like mourning the relationship. She's like,
and she feels like she, that she has to do some convoluted like S&M references
she has to
first.
Tied myself to a man who is terrified of being tied down. Which is like a real thing.
Yeah. So and she's lambasting herself just for like spending the time with herself.
Flagellating.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Stanford goes to meet Big Tool for You.
Big Tool for You.
And he shows up at the door of this club and the guy's like, mandatory clothes check. Only underwear allowed. And Stanford, I was like, I love that he does this and takes this chance. He's like, he hadn't been seen in his underwear
by a room full of men since seventh grade gym class.
Incredible.
And he has to like decide if he's going to do it.
But he looks through this like bead curtain sees that there are just all these men in underwear. And he's like, hell yeah. So he undresses.
And Stanford is like a normal looking fellow.
Yeah. He's not like body of a god.
Yeah.
Like gay archetype.
Oh,
yeah, this was excruciating and also so funny because just Will Arnett. But they're finally in a bedroom. And here's the thing. Miranda's like, I don't think we covered this earlier. Miranda's thing that she doesn't like about this is that she's worried that he's not into her at all. He's only into the risk of getting caught. So now they're in his bedroom and she's like, oh, she feels great. She's like, all that time he was just so into me. And then, so she lets loose. She's like,
okay.
Moaning.
And then she's like, is someone coming?
And he's like, my parents are here to visit. She's like, are they coming in?
We should stop.
Sounds like they're coming in. And I was like, when I heard her voice and realized, I thought he lived with his mom. And I was like, Lucille? Just did my crossover reference brain.
So now we're in the underwear club again. Everybody's getting
so
like
the parents walk in as they're having sex.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, fully. I like how Stanford gets a plot instead of Smith this episode.
Yeah, I love it. Although literally where is Samantha? But so Stanford meets his guy.
You guys, Tool for You looks exactly so much like someone I have hooked up with. And like
someone we might have talked about at the very beginning of this podcast.
I don't know if we've talked about him. That's up for you guys to decide. If you watch the episode and you know my role of lovers, then you'll be able to tell
your
and text
book
me about it.
Signature book. But he's like, I like your underwear. And Stanford's like, thanks, I got them in France. And the guy like tucks his finger in the waistband and pulls him over. And he's like,
he looks
nice. It's crazy. Brooke's having a moment.
I screamed. Yeah. Bridget watched me
I watched her scream about a couple of things in a row. The parents coming in, this happening. And they end up having a really nice time.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
And they're just in their underwear.
I know. And Stanford's so cute and happy.
Would you go to an underwear bar?
Maybe. I'd be... Maybe. The thing is, like, I'd be inclined to go to...
A clothes bar.
Well, I would say, like, a mostly female, perhaps.
Yeah.
Underwear bar.
So then we cut to Carrie, who's like in the most dramatic moonlighting.
She hasn't gone to bed. She went to bed at 1:30, and at 2:30, she's still awake. And then her buzzer goes off and she like rests against the door dramatically before she opens it. And then she's like, we didn't have words. We'd said them all. And she closes the door as he like goes in for her neck from behind. And they have really like dreamy kind of intense, that kind of like fever dream, you know, it's the last time.
Yeah, it's like they're sex, they like both know it's over.
And in the morning she's like sitting in a chair looking out the window and she's like,
did I ever love him, or was I addicted to the pain?
Which honestly, you know, she's that's, doing the right thing, and she's asking the real questions.
That's what le delicole esquises.
Did you learn to speak French in the last hour?
Yeah.
the exquisite pain, that's it. And she's doing the right thing.
Yeah, for she's herself. Breaking up with him.
And he wakes up and he's like, what are you doing over there? Come over here. And she's like, I felt tied to the chair. Oh, hey, S&M. And she's basically like, you should go to Paris and I am not going to go.
Which I'm so proud of her for.
Me too, really. It was, you know, she comes to the right place on this one. And then they have the most tender,
just like a look, a like wistful, like goodbye forever.
She looks conveniently right out on the street from her bedroom, and he goes down, shirt untucked, and looks back up at her, and they smile.
They smile.
It's really a nice moment of it's like, yeah, I like love you.
Sometimes part of love, you just like have to let them go. And well, I'm crying, and yeah. I'm like, this is my Sex and the City. This is the best show, because Carrie is all of us.
I know. Well, two of the things we didn't mention as they happened were, one, at one point he's like, she's like, you said you love me, and he's like, I did love you. And then she says, why does it hurt so much? And I think that's something that's hard for Carrie, is she can't sit in the discomfort of it at all.
She's so quixotic. Like, she's so idealistic in romance and love that, like, anything...
And her idea of what that looks like changes every 10 seconds and every time someone says something.
Yeah, and every, like, difficulty is, the end-all be-all.
Yeah.
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 So that's that.
That's that.
Who did you resonate with? I think...
As I said, moments with Carrie strongly, the prospect of like someone suddenly, or someone going abroad, you know, or the idea of just facing what that looks like.
Yeah.
And also a little bit Stanford and his online stuff.
That's me too. I had like big Carrie moments. It's been weird, you guys. The episodes we've been watching have
lined
this
up.
This is the second week in a row that it's like sort of, come at a similar time to something that's happening in my life that, again, like, maybe you don't get to know everything, okay? And we're just interesting. The planets are all amok, so
it's just interesting.
It's just interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is why I love the show. This is why people love the show.
Yeah.
Because it's like therapy.
It's also so gratifying that she finally got to that point after all of this. But then it's tough for me to know that it is not over. Also, I know the next big plot point, spoiler with Big.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hasn't happened yet, but it's been spoiled for me.
It's okay.
So I'm waiting for it.
It's not for a while.
Okay.
But like, remember, like...
Also, I miss Steve.
Uh-huh.
Remember what? I interrupted you.
There are other boyfriends.
Oh, right. Oh, so, yeah. So like... Aiden?
Aiden is soon. Next season.
Next season.
So yeah, and Stanford too, because like just like the concept of just like putting yourself out there.
Oh, that's good. I'm happy to have some non Mr. Big time, because I want to be like excited about Aiden, Carrie in different ways.
Aiden is very tied to Big in a lot of ways.
Interesting.
Okay, because it's the first one.
Right.
I'm excited for who you like.
Yeah, I can't wait. Burger? Is Burger happening soon?
Not for a while.
Okay, never mind. Jeez. I'm going to stop asking. Doodly doo.
Aiden, like, I want Aiden to look like Aiden, but be Burger. And that's my dream. But I'm attracted to Mr. Biggs.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else?
Doodly doo.
How a plop scale. Welcome to the plop scale.
Oh, yeah.
2017.
Yeah, plop it in.
Plop it in. How does it do? I feel like Stanford is on Grindr.
Yeah, Stanford is different, definitely. Maybe a different, like, online something.
What is, like, the most recent, like, S&M club type restaurant you've
maybe
heard of?
He's just, like, really into it, and so he, you know, goes to some, like, meetups or I don't know.
But other than that, I feel like all
the or the technology would just be better. He'd be doing the same kind of thing, chatting with people. But
I feel like
most of the rest of them, yeah.
2017 passable. Good job.
Yeah, yeah. And Samantha just was not there except for...
Yeah, I really resonated with Samantha. She just wasn't there.
Always.
Do you want to call it?
I think we should call it.
Boopity
boop.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I have a question.
I probably don't have an answer.
Oh, I think you might.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Where can I find you on social media? So it's a good bit.
I know. I just felt like I was pushing it too far.
How may I find you on social media?
You can find me at Mrs. Burt Macklin on Twitter and at BridgetM37 on Instagram. Brookalicious. Where can I find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Brooke Wiseman. I did it backwards. You can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman. Mm-hmm. Although I know this isn't a podcast about friends, but I really wanted to change my Twitter handle to Gal Pal Rachel Green.
Oh, fun. Also, but I've watched a couple of episodes recently.
And Instagram, Brooke Wiseman, no underscore.
No underscore. And that is...
And together, collectively we are at Splat Podcast everywhere. Social media is found, and we are on Facebook at Splat the podcast.
Rate, review, subscribe, listen to us,
email us, check out our new website. Thank you, Mia.
It's gorgeous. Thank you, Mia.
Splatpodcast.com. You can just look at pictures of
us. Get everything.
Send
there.
Us. You can contact us through our contact page. We love you.
And that was Splat.
Oh, we're not gonna have an episode next week.
God damn it!
Because Bridget's gonna
be away.
Oh
yeah, I'm gonna be abroad. So thank you for your patience, everyone.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sorry.
The episode 2 weeks from now is a banger, Bridge.
I can't wait. And that was Splat,
the podcast.